Hello and welcome back to Musical Roots with me, your host and international trumpet soloist Matilda Lloyd. This episode is going to be a little bit different from the usual format, as today I will share more about the work of the charity Brass for Africa. I am an ambassador for the charity, and in February of 2024, I had the fabulous opportunity to go out to Uganda to learn more about the work of the charity and to visit many of the programs that they are involved with. And during my trip, I conducted a series of interviews with the staff and participants of the programs. So I can't wait to share more about my trip during this episode. Also, as you may have noticed, I've replaced the usual jingle music for this podcast with music captured during my trip in Uganda. At the start there, you heard a traditional marching band theme, and at the end of the episode, you will hear a rehearsal of the tune Ballad for Rebecca that I performed alongside the teacher and staff band. Firstly, though, to give you a little bit of context, here are the headlines about Brass for Africa. The charity was founded in 2009 by Jim Trott, a British Airways pilot who flew out 30 brass instruments to form the first band in Uganda in 2009. Brass for Africa now provides around 2,000 children and youths with music and life skills education across Uganda, Rwanda, and Liberia. The charity also employs 48 staff in Uganda, many of whom have come up through the programs themselves. I met Jim almost 10 years ago, and we have kept in touch ever since, reconnecting when I was living in Munich and when the teacher band from Uganda were on their European tour. And then in November 2023, I became the first Brass for Africa ambassador. And then I spent the most incredible week in Uganda in February 2024, visiting the different programs, performing to the bands, with the bands, conducting band rehearsals, learning one of their marching band tunes orally, which was fantastic. And it was just brilliant to meet so many of the program participants and answer all of their questions. I had the opportunity to interview Ronald Kubuye, Programs and Administration Manager, who you'll be hearing from throughout the podcast as he tells us more about the different programs. And if you listen carefully, you might hear some brass instrument practice going on in the background. So I'm sitting here with Ronald. Ronald, can you please tell us, first of all, what your role is here in Brass for Africa?
Oh, thank you so much, Matilda. So my role is the programs and admin manager. Mainly, I manage the programs, make sure that activities are happening, make sure that we are implementing what we plan and have to do with all the projects we do. Of course, the other admin side is making sure that employees and staff and everyone that is working with Brass for Africa in delivering the programs we do, they have all the prerequisite, all the requirements and everything they need to be able to do that. But also part of the programs and admin manager role is to be able to plan and kind of design these projects in a way that they connect to our focus areas, which is gender equality, community empowerment, workforce readiness, disability inclusion, and fulfill music potential.
Gender equality is one of the most important focus areas for Brass for Africa. Girls in sub-Saharan Africa are often exposed to atrocities such as gender-based violence or teenage pregnancies, and they are also much more likely to drop out of school because the boys' education is prioritised. One of the programmes in Uganda that made the biggest impact on me was the Mwala Asobola Community Centre, otherwise known as MASI, where gender equality is the main focus.
The uniqueness of MASI kind of attracted us to them, first of all, because it's a entity that was established by a former participant who saw the power of music to bring girls together in communities with boys to fight and defend each other against things like drug abuse, early marriages, early pregnancies, rape, defilement, because again, the girl child, many girls get defiled in these communities, sexual assault, harassment, you know, and all other things that girls are vulnerable to in communities where there are no protection at all. She formed this organization and she believed that through her entity, calling it Mwala Asobola, which means the girl can, or the girl can also make it, or it's possible for girls even to grow and thrive, is that she wanted to be able to create an area where there is a safer space for girls to learn, defend themselves, be able to be appreciated.
During my visit at MASI, I had the opportunity to speak with the founder of the centre that Ronald mentioned there, Farida, about the importance of the centre in this community.
My name is Naumas Farida. I'm 25 years old, and I'm a founding director at Moala Sobola Community Initiative.
Otherwise known as MASI.
Yeah, as MASI. And just a background, MASI is a community-based organization that seeks to create space for girls' potential.
And how does the music help the children in these communities? How does it help to make them safer?
Honestly, we are using music as a tool for safety. And music has really transformed the lives of our of the community members, but primarily of the young people. One, we are using music to bridge the gender gap. So music is helping us to bring boys and girls together, and in that collaborative way they are realizing that they can really live free from violence, as the boys have been the primary perpetrators of the girls' insecurities. But now we are having boys as the champions of change for girls' safety, as we are mentoring them to be really great advocates of girls' safety. And then we are using music to bridge the economic gap. And last year, 2023, we were able to introduce a commercial band, where this band is supporting the girls to not trade their bodies anymore to earn a living. We raised up to about $2,000. That was 5,900,000 Ugandan shillings. And this was really distributed amongst the young people, always whenever we get a gig. And this has at least supported some to pay for their rent, to pay for their school fees, to buy scholastic materials, to buy sanitary towels, and a lot more in their homes.
Alongside providing the musical instruments, the teachers, and band rehearsals twice a week, Brass for Africa also provides life skills training to the participants of the programs. Many of the young people in Uganda are exposed to both physical and emotional violence, including gender-based violence against girls, and this can often leave them with a lack of confidence and self-esteem. So the life skills aim to combat this by tackling topics such as leadership, teamwork, and resilience. For example, teaching them how to look people in the eye and how to present themselves and speak in public with confidence. Farida expanded on this a little bit more.
These life skills are mentoring the young people, tuning, nurturing their mind to be vibrant members of their localities. They are able to communicate through the communication skills. They are able to exercise that resilience as a way of training them on how to cope up, being problem solvers. We have a lot of problems that are tagged to our communities, but what is unique about this program, it is nurturing the young people to be ready for these challenges, hence paving ways of how to overcome it.
At the Gleneva Center, I spoke to Barbara about how the life skills training has made a difference in her life. So firstly, could you tell me please your name and what instrument you play and how long you've been playing?
My name is Barbara and I play an E-flat tuba and I've played it for now 4 years.
And how has music changed your life?
Actually, music has been a beacon of hope to me because before I joined the band, I wasn't that confident. I didn't know how to speak to people. I didn't have that much that confidence of expressing myself as a girl child. But through music and life skills, I've been able to gain the confidence. I can speak, I can perform, because we are auditioned. Most of the times we do assessments, and it has given me those certificates of even being a first runner in the All-Star Band solo competition. So that's really great.
Congratulations, and you speak so beautifully now. It's amazing to hear that music has helped you and given you this confidence. One of the things that really struck me when Farida gave us a tour of the slum around Massey was how dangerous low productivity can be for these communities. Without a purpose, many youths turn to crime, and so centres like Massey are important as they give them a place to go after school and on the weekends, and to also give them a purpose and activities. At Massey, they have also started to introduce what they call green skills, ways for the girls to make an income so that they can purchase things like school materials and medicine.
And in terms of low productivity that is introducing very many young people, especially boys, to antisocial activities like phone snatching, bag snatching, we are coping it by introducing the green skills to them. We do make bracelets like beadwork, and we sell these beads. We train them to make them. And once they make them, on selling, there is a given percentage that goes to them to buy a sanitary pad for a girl. Perhaps this family has like 4 daughters.
Yeah.
And they spend each, like on each girl a month is 3,500, which is really expensive and unhygienic, because a girl need to use 2 packs, that is 7,000, you know?
Yeah.
7,000, and then perhaps they have 4 daughters who menstruate every week, like different times.
Yeah, yeah.
The family feel overwhelmed, and in a long run, they leave daughters to fend for themselves. And where do they get the pads from? The boyfriends. And on getting the boy from the boyfriend, their bodies are used, and in a long run, they conceive. They don't even use the towels, you know? So we are supporting them to learn how to make their sanitary pads to even conserve our environment.
Back at the Gleneva Centre, I also interviewed Evelyn and asked her about how she came to find out about the band and get involved.
Please, could you tell me the story of how you came to play the trombone?
Yeah, my story is a bit long, but I'm going to brief it. When I was young, I was around 8 years old. So when I came in the band, Brass for Africa by then wasn't there, but then it was introduced. We came and we started learning. We learnt a lot, but I was scared about the things I saw. I was like, oh my God, I can't play this instrument. It scared me a lot. So I went back home and I told my sister, I told her, I was like, do you know that they have brought gold at Gleneva? There is gold, there is silver. Then she was like, really? Then she said, okay, let's go. So we took a bath and hurried and came. So I showed her a trumpet. Then she was like, what? This is real gold, real gold. Then she was playing without a mouthpiece. I was like, no. This is a mouthpiece. It's called a mouthpiece. You have to put it and play. So you have to buzz like. Gosh, we were very excited. So we met Coach and told him we are interested in joining the band. So he called us and said, you are free to join and come and join.
Alongside all the programs in Kampala that I visited, we also traveled by boat to an island just south of the equator on Lake Victoria called Kalangala. This program on the island has a special focus on HIV and AIDS, as the island used to have one of the highest percentages of HIV in the world. So here, the programs are attached to health clubs that help educate the young people and the wider communities about how to prevent the spread of HIV and also trying to destigmatize those living with the disease.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the HIV/AIDS project there and the health clubs that are attached to the bands and how that's making an impact in the communities there?
Oh, thank you so much. You know, Kalangala is a very special project, and as an island or as a district in Kalangala, back in 2017, it was declared one with the highest HIV prevalence, and the spread of HIV in the island was really alarming. Compared to the 7%, which was the national prevalence, in Kalangala it was 27%. And there was a surge in awareness and making sure there is comprehensive knowledge among the young people and people on the island in communities to be able to fight against HIV, you know. And as a global goal of ending and creating zero HIV infection, zero prevalence in the world, you know, we got a chance, or we got our funds to be able to work in Kalangala in a way that we're using music, first of all, to bridge the gap between the communities whereby there was stigma. We are using music to be able to bring all positive or negative persons and communities together to appreciate a eco space where they are free and fun and they are loved and supported, but also it's a comprehensive knowledge. One of the elements we have with this project in Kalangala is that we have health clubs that meet once every week, whereby the youths or the young people from the age of 14 to 30 and more will meet and be able to kind of learn and get knowledge on prevention, knowledge on advocacy, knowledge on leadership, knowledge on psychosocial support, knowledge on helping, mentorship, stress, and managing all other issues that might come with HIV.
Yeah, amazing. And the children performed for us a wonderful poem about HIV and how to prevent the spread, and a mime as well. So it was amazing to see those creative creative ways of spreading the message coming out of these health clubs. And then on my final morning here in Uganda, we visited a juvenile detention center, Kambrangisa. Can you talk a little bit more about the program there and how it helps these young children who have been forgotten or abandoned?
Yeah. So different from all other juvenile rehabilitation centers around the world, you know, maybe in Africa, if I would say is that Kambiringsa in Uganda is more of a place where a parent, if the children again have been in conflict with the law, they are dropped there and then some forget about them. Even with efforts for government to reconnect them and restore them, it's quite futile because a parent says that my child is a criminal, I've given up on them, I don't want to follow up. But also, when they go there, they do other activities, of course, like tailoring and us. But also, we think, as we know the power of music and it has, and the skills that we've been able to kind of impart and kind of bring out from our participants, we thought music was a very, very, very good kind of a thing to do. And since 2015, 16, just to be sure, is that we started the campaign program. When we brought in the music program, was more of them to feel the joy, get calm, learn the skill, but also be able to openly come to terms with the facts that they are in a juvenile prison. And our music programs were mainly on them expressing themselves, you know, instead of being expressing physically, you know, using your instrument to express the hunger and whatever they were feeling inside of them. And from that, one of the reports we usually get from campaigns of social workers is that a student who used to be hostile, since they entered the music program, they can come and talk freely without raising their voices, without being offended, and they feel safe, you know, in the place where they are. You know, they feel there is hope for the next day, for the next day. It's not about surviving to go out. Yeah. It's about them being rehabilitated and learning, which wasn't the case before the music and life skills program there.
Yeah, and it was really interesting. This morning we saw the new bronze band. There were about 50 of them, and they've been having lessons in the life skills the last 2 to 3 weeks. And then we also had the silver band, who have maybe been playing their instruments for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And the difference between the way that the new bronze members presented themselves and spoke, you know, they were looking at the floor, they were very quiet, speaking into the microphone, and then the silver band came out and they go, "Hello, everyone, how are you? This is my name, this is what we're going to play." And they are really engaging and confident. And I think, you know, that makes it so clear and so sort of obvious to see the difference that these music and life skills programs make.
It's a huge impact, you know. Of course, you know, someone would say, okay, the sports and all the other thing, it's the time frame for them to learn, the commitment that I'm going to learn and have an outcome at the end of the day. That's the special ability that an instrument has. You become technical, and one of the things that I've had mainly in all our participants, in especially those are facing either a conflict with the law or in a refugee settlement where they are running away from more and they are looking for a home to stay, is the identity they get. You know, they live there as Julius, a trombone player, or Julius, a trumpet player, non-Julius, a criminal. And for Kambiringsa, that's been a key thing for them. Yeah. You know, I'm living here as a trumpet player, not a criminal, you know.
Absolutely. And I think playing a musical instrument, it's not, especially a brass instrument, it's not easy. And to be good, and, you know, if you're new to Kambiringisa and you see the silver band play, you know, it can take many months or years to get to that standard. So as you say, like developing that, the patience, the determination, the perseverance, you have to practice, you have to show up. It's a great way to learn that kind of commitment.
Brass for Africa is also a key employer in Uganda, with 48 full-time staff on their payroll and a total of 89 staff supported across all of the partner programs. And I think it's really important to say that all of the teachers that go out to the different programs twice a week and give the lessons and lead the band rehearsals came up through the Brass for Africa programs and then were supported through their teacher training by Brass for Africa. Alongside teacher training, Brass for Africa also has various volunteer programs to encourage the learning of new skills. And while I was in Kampala, they had just been through the interview process for two new interns to join the instrument repair workshop. When I was at the Kawempe Youth Center, KYC, I spoke to Boston, who has been a member of the band for many years and is just about to start his internship.
So we are now here at KYC. Please, could you tell me your name, how old you are, and what instrument you play?
My name is Boston, and I'm from Kawempe Youth Center Brass Band. I play a B-flat tuba. I'm 27 years old now.
And so you have just won an internship. You've just been selected. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you're going to be doing at Brass for Africa?
I'm super excited, and I believe I'm going to do my best, because we were through that volunteer program, the workshop volunteer program, and by God's grace we managed to pass, and I believe I'm going to do my best. I'm looking forward to repairing as many instruments as I can. Yeah.
That's brilliant. And then you can bring those skills back to KYC and share them and repair the instruments of your friends and colleagues you've been playing with.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much, and best of luck with your new job.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So I hope this episode has given you a little bit of insight into the work of Brass for Africa in Uganda and across sub-Saharan Africa. For me, it was just amazing to see how music is the facilitator, really, in all of these programs, and how it is a tool for social change, whether that's through the life skills or the green skills or the health clubs like in Kalangala. It's also incredible to hear about how the music has changed their lives for the better and given them a musical family in the bands, something that I got to experience firsthand during my trip. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and if you feel inspired, please do visit brassforafrica.org, where you can learn even more about the charity and about how to get involved, for example, through donations. As ever, please do share this episode with your friends and family, and we will see you here next month for an episode about artist management with Lydia Connolly, Senior Director at Harrison Parrott.